The following program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395 is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit AbsoluteLoans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, sponsored by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Now in the studio, local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome to The Money Hour on 570 KVI, Sunday, January 5th show. I am your host, Tina Mitchell, and mortgage expert. Thank you for taking time to talk money. I'm here every Sunday at 11 a.m. right here on 570 KVI, bringing in expert advice and inside knowledge on today's events and our local economy and how it can affect your money. And my lineup for guests today, I'm the only girl in studio. It's always fun to have three handsome guys sitting across from me. Couple regulars, we have Lloyd Hart, King County Assessor. Lloyd comes into studio to share the most recent things happening with your property taxes and over at the assessor's office. And another regular contributor of our show, Andy Landis, nationally known author and speaker. And Happy New Year from Social Security. What should you be doing this year if you're receiving Social Security or nearing the age to start drawing Social Security? And a first-time guest in studio, very excited to have Craig Godre with Windermere Real Estate East. The real estate market in 2014, we're going to talk to Craig about what he thinks is coming up in this year for our local real estate market. Great information and great guest in studio today. For more information on any topics discussed, please call into the show, 1-888-987-0570. Again, that's 1-888-987-0570 or on themoneyhour.com. Again, keep that number because I'm sure you'll want to talk to some of our guests in studio today. And let's go ahead and start out with some money chat. I wanted to bring in and talk about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac loan limits. So again, this is a secondary market. For those of you that are regular listeners to the show, you know that my expertise is mortgage. That's what I do for my full-time job when I'm not here in studio on Sundays talking to you guys for an hour. And Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac being the secondary market, which I would say probably right now 70% or more of mortgages are getting sold to Fannie and Freddie. And I want to talk about the loan limits because they actually decided to keep them the same and not lower them, which is really, really good news, I feel, for our real estate market. The maximum conforming loan limits for mortgages with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are staying at $417,000. Now, that's for most areas. In counties that are considered expensive or more expensive markets, it's the $625,500. Not anywhere in our counties here in Washington State, we're at the $417,000. But then there's also high balance. The high balance limits for here in our local market is $506,000. The announcement comes after months of industry protest over acting Federal Housing Finance Agency Director Edward DeMarco announced in his announcement that he would lower these limits. Now, many industry professionals, including myself, did not want to see the limits lower. More than a dozen mortgage and housing industry groups have gone on record opposing the plan. The belief is that lowering the limits could have an impact on our housing recovery and the economy as a whole. Now, members of Congress weren't so hot about the idea either. 66 House members signed an October 10th letter to DeMarco slamming the plan. Such action by single regulator would serve only to further tighten the fragile housing recovery. So currently homeownership rates are an historical 18-year low. And in our local market, the current conforming against $417,000, $506,000 being high balance. Now, those of you that have listened to the show before, I've talked a little bit about the high balance, which this just came out after the mortgage crisis in 2008, where they increased or came in with a temporary balance that was over the conforming limits. There used to be just a conventional conforming or jumbo. So conforming or jumbo. And then after the crisis, through the Obama stimulus plan, he came in with a high balance, which is a temporary in between conforming and jumbo loan limits. So basically, it just gives that additional amount that we could purchase with a lower down payment and staying out of the harder qualifying, which is the jumbo financing. So the difference between the conforming, and again, I'm talking of our local market here, conforming being 417,000 versus the high balance of 506, is the down payment. So on a conventional conforming, if you have a loan amount that's 417,000 or less, you're able to get in with a 5% down payment. If you're going over 417, not exceeding the high balance limit, which has not exceeded, it stayed remaining the same at 506 for our local market here. The difference is the minimum down payment that you need to come in with is 10%. So what does this really mean? And most important is just what your buying capability or buying power is. So if your maximum loan amount is $417,000 with a minimum down payment of 5%, that enables you to purchase just under a $439,000 home. So getting into a $439,000 home with a 5% down payment is a real nice benefit to continue to keep our real estate market values going up and allowing more people to be able to afford to come in to purchase a home. Now, the high balance being 506 with the minimum 10% down payment, that would be a maximum purchase price of just over $562,000. Now, FHA is, other than your conventional financing, you have FHA and VA financing. Well, FHA has a high balance as well. And the high balance was 562,700 in our market here. 567,500 in our local market. Now, what they did is FHA actually decreased to match what the conventional high balance is, which is the 506. So that did go down from 567,500 to 506. FHA being a little bit lower down payment, you can still get in with a 3.5% down payment. So with your minimum down payment, with a loan amount not exceeding $506,000, that enables you to get into a $524,000 home with a low down payment option. Now, they're still available, which I've talked about in studio before, the ability to be able to do purchase money seconds now. Basically, that's a second mortgage that you can combine with your first mortgage, which can actually accomplish two things. It can avoid paying that PMI because you can do a 10% down and not have to liquidate 20% and avoid PMI, but also it can enable you to purchase more with a low down payment, because if you do an 80% first mortgage and a 10% second, to keep your loan amount at the maximum high balance of $506,000, now it increases your buying power up to $632,500. So just some really great numbers to help get into our local real estate market. And when we talk with Craig about real estate and the prediction of what the market's going to do, which I think there's going to be some continued appreciation this coming year, it'll be nice that these balances are staying around at least for now. And coming up next on the Money Hour, each year, their staff of real estate appraisers evaluate more than 660,000 residential and commercial properties throughout just our King County area. The valuations are then used to calculate the owner's property taxes for the following year. Lloyd Hara, King County Assessor, right here on 570 KVI after this short break.
Are you behind on your mortgage payments and unsure about the road ahead? Magnum Law Group helps families just like yours navigate through the foreclosure avoidance process. Are you underwater on your home and unsure what to do? Magnum Law Group will help you understand your options. Are you facing foreclosure and need to stop a trustee sale? Magnum Law Group has success in doing this and may be able to help you too. If you're tired of dealing with the banks and getting turned down for loan modification, Magnum Law Group will take on the banks for you and lead you through the process for the best possible outcome. They lead the competition with superior knowledge and expertise.
This is Craig from Magnum. You can reach us at 425-605-6393 or at www.magnumlawgroup.com. See you at the next seminar.
Free electricity? from your roof? It's possible with solar energy. Here's Amy from Solterra Systems.
There's never been a better time to install solar in Washington, and yes, we do get enough sun. Incentives cover over 50% of the installation cost, and zero down financing is available. Enjoy watching your meter run backwards this summer by installing solar now.
Go to useyourroof.com to find out how easy it can be. That's useyourroof.com, or call 800-865-9005 to get your free site assessment from Solterra Systems.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Talk Radio 570 KBI. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. I'm here to help you build a strong financial blueprint one week and one show at a time. In studio right now, our own King County Assessor, Lloyd Hara, here to share recent things happening at the Assessor's Office and your property taxes. Lloyd, thank you so much for coming back in studio.
Happy New Year to you, Tina.
Happy New Year to you as well.
Great. It's always great to come back. So.
Thank you. And those of you that have not heard Lloyd before, King County Assessor is a respected veteran public official. He was elected assessor November 3rd, 2009, and has a record as a tireless advocate for taxpayers and champions in openness and transparency for the government agencies. And it is Happy New Year, and it's exciting to kind of talk about some things that are happening right now, Lloyd. There was an extensive building, well, I shouldn't say this isn't actually exciting, talking with the first question I want to ask you here, but there was an extensive building fire in the International District right before the holidays. And so I thought it'd be good to explain to the listeners what happens when a commercial building or a residential home, when something like this occurs, whether it's natural or unnatural causes.
Well, thanks, Tina. On Christmas Eve, there was a fire at the Hudson Hotel in the International mm-hmm. District, which caused tremendous amount of damage to that building. And taxpayers always ask, well, if I do have a fire in my home, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you can do is contact our office, either by phone or by website, and inform us of your potential damage. Depending upon the severity of it, you can get initial property tax relief if we have an opportunity to get out there very quickly and to then put a new value on that particular property. Like fires, clearly, depending upon whether or not one has full insurance to come back and totally rehab the building, then clearly once the work is completed, then the value will probably go up again.
Okay.
In conjunction with that. But probably the area that most people really feel is caused by floods. And one of the things that has occurred in 2013 is that FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, has issued new flood maps. So folks should be aware of the new flood maps, and potentially where you thought that you are outside the flood zone, mm-hmm. you could be well within it now due to issues like global warming and et cetera.
So, Lloyd, getting back to the fire, and the building's over 100 years old, what are the scenarios when a historical building is badly damaged or damaged to the point that it's beyond repair?
Well, if they have to tear down the building, clearly we have a structural value on that property. And so we take off the structural value, not the land value,
okay.
but the structural
Makes sense.
Value. And then depending upon how long it takes them to reconstruct or rebuild that building, then we will begin to add the added value at that particular point.
Okay.
But initially they can get relief. So it's important that if you do have a fairly significant fire, for example, that mm-hmm. you do contact our office.
So heading into the storm season, what the property relief might be available for property owners if they have to deal with damage destroyed by the property is what we're talking about.
That's
yep.
correct.
Okay.
Remember, you might remember a few years ago when everybody was basically petrified about the potential collapse of the Mud Mountain Dam
yes, yep. mm-hmm.
in the Green River. And as a consequence, people were scrambling and saying, hey, look, What can I do in potential of the flood? In this particular case, we were very fortunate that we adequately sandbagged and we're working on the prevention side of it.
Okay.
And eventually that dam was reinforced again, so the danger was lessened substantially. However, we do have a number of areas that traditionally flood. If you're on the lower Snoqualmie River, the Sammamish River area, the White River, coastal areas of Vashon Island, for example, they are areas that have been known to flood.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a consequence, it is very important for folks to take a look at working with their homeowners insurance to see if they have flood insurance. Because we do know that, you know, the occasional 100-year flood seems to be happening mm-hmm. much more often these days.
Yeah.
And we see the catastrophic.
It's not the 100-year flood anymore.
No, it is not. And so it's it's always prudent to be making sure that you do have coverage. But I think the other element is that you work very carefully with the various departments. We do have a department in King County, especially those that are living in unincorporated King County. And they can contact the at kingcounty.gov /the environment/water and land/flooding map sites.
And if you're in your car and you can't write that down, just give the show a call, 1-888-987-0570. We'll make sure you get that information.
We will put that on the website.
Okay.
And so that you can come back and take a look at it at your convenience.
So, Lloyd, can you tell us a little bit more about the flood zones? Because you'd mentioned with the changing, and I know from on the lending side, the lender's going to get a flood cert to see if the property is located in a flood zone. And it's strange how some areas flood insurance is really, really expensive. Well, most areas, I mean, it's a lot more expensive than what your standard homeowner's insurance policy would be. But some areas, it's just outrageously expensive, and other, not so much. Why is the difference between that?
Well, that's true. Part of it is the incidence of flooding. And so, you know, we know we have a few homes that almost annually potentially flood.
Okay.
And so, your risk is so much greater.
Sure.
And as a consequence, higher risk, you will be paying higher insurance.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's really important that one begins to take a look at these flood maps.
Because they're going to be changing so
much. These are just coming out.
Okay.
And it is under discussion. I know a lot of communities where they are potentially in the flood zone that they are looking at it very carefully with FEMA to better understand their potential risk. I know town mayors are working with them. And clearly, if you live in a community that's potentially is seen as a higher risk.
Uh-huh.
It's very important that you do get down to talk to your local public officials to talk about it.
So, Lloyd, right now on your website, can they see these areas that are possibly going to be affected? Or because for a current homeowner, I mean, a new homeowner, they're going to find out and they can make the decision whether or not. But for a current homeowner that's now budgeted for the expenses that they have, all of a sudden now they're in a flood zone, that is going to add quite a bit to their or take away from their family. Is there a place they can check right now or not yet?
We are the new areas in many cases are still under consideration.
Okay.
And they have not totally been approved. Once they are approved, then we will have an overlay within our website to do that. However, like I mentioned earlier, there is a division within King County government that does have those, and the local cities should also have the flood map zones.
So if they're concerned about it, that's what they need to do.
Right. If you live, say, for example, in Carnation,
okay,
then you should go to the town of Carnation, take a look at their flood map.
Okay.
Or you live in Renton or wherever.
Okay.
To clearly go down and take a look
at
the zone. And I think just in dealing with due diligence, you as a potential homeowner, if you're looking at buying a home, clearly go down and take a look at it.
That's a good point, because now it won't be there, but it it could be one of the areas
could
that changes.
Be there and ask that
question. That's expensive. I mean, you can be looking at $150 a month, or
it
can run pretty spendy.
I think we recognize the major floods that have occurred, primarily back east. You know, things like Katrina or Sandy, etc. Well, you're talking about tens of billions of dollars of risk.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just like any insurance. It's in a pool.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're making payoffs like that, it impacts everybody.
Of course. So, Lay, let's talk about 2014 now that we're here. What is the assessor's office doing during the first quarter of the year, and where are the 2014 physical inspection areas?
Tina, great question. As an office, we physically inspect 1/6 of the county every year.
Mm-hmm.
And for 2014, we are looking at areas like Bothell and East Kenmore, Blue Ridge, Wedgwood, Central Area, Beacon Hill, Beauharts, Issaquah, Preston Area, Mercer Island. So we are either currently there or we'll be there shortly.
Okay, so if you're in those, living in those neighborhoods, and you see somebody outside your house checking it out, it might be the inspectors from Lloyd's office. So let them in, invite them in, give them some coffee, some cookies. Some of them actually knock on the door, because how often are they supposed to possibly try to do an in the house property inspection or
come
inside?
We will be in the general neighborhood. We will at least once,
mm-hmm.
depending upon schedule and time,
okay.
whether or not we'll come back a second time if you're not there. All our appraisers have a identification card. So if you see a person walking on your property,
ask
taking pictures with an iPad.
With their iPad. I know you're so proud of them about their iPads now.
They're loving
that. That's right. I was just going to say that.
Go up to them and ask them what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they should be able to explain to you. By law, we have the right to enter on one's personal property. However, if you say, no, I don't want you here,
mm-hmm.
My instruction is basically don't argue with the taxpayer. Just take your picture and move on,
mm-hmm.
and we'll work with it from there.
Makes sense. So let's talk about a senior exemption program, which we've mentioned before. So I understand that the seniors have to renew every 6 seasons. Where can a senior receive assistance for their 2014?
Well, that's correct. You have to go back and reaffirm that you want the exemption.
Okay.
And clearly, hopefully, you still qualify.
And where you witness
but
we your
will
income
be going
goes
out
over the maximum.
To various senior centers to help.
Okay.
We'll be out in the area of Kent, Bellevue, Renton, Seattle Shoreline, and Vashon Island to the various senior centers. And they should go on our website,
okay.
which is kingcounty.gov/assessor, to look for dates and times. And this year, to make the process go even smoother, we'd like people to register for a time, so then you don't have to wait, and we can handle your proper each one individually.
Okay.
When you get to the site.
Perfect. So where can my listeners find the information that we've talked about today again? Can you give that website, Lloyd?
Sure. It's kingcounty.gov/assessor.
Okay. And you can always give the show a call, 1-888-987-0570, or contact us online at themoneyhour.com. Lloyd, out of time, and we just got through the questions that I wanted to ask you. How strategic was that? Thank you so much for spending so much time here with my listeners and keeping us updated on what's happening over at your office.
Okay, it's great. It's always a pleasure to be with you, Tina. And if your listeners have specific questions, they can always contact us on the website or call the office.
Wonderful, Lloyd. I'll see you back about a month and a half.
That would be great.
Okay. Coming up next on the Money Hour, When I retire, the fastest, easiest way to make your retirement fun, fulfilling, that's a hard word for me to say today, and significant, we have in studio the nationally known author of this book, Andy Landis, right here on 570 KVI after this short break.
Are you scratching your head trying to figure out how to afford retirement? Social Security and Medicare are essential, but they're a complete mystery to most people. Now, Andy Landis guides the way with his book, Social Security, The Inside Story. Andy has helped thousands retire, and his book is called The Very Best.
Hi, this is Andy Landis. Now you can master Social Security and Medicare. Learn more at andylandis.biz. That's andylandis.biz.
Free electricity from your roof? It's possible with solar energy. Here's Amy from Solterra Systems.
There's never been a better time to install solar in Washington. And yes, we do get enough sun. Incentives cover over 50% of the installation cost and zero down financing is available. Enjoy watching your meter run backwards this summer by installing solar now.
Go to useyourroof.com to find out how easy it can be. That's useyourroof.com. Or call 800-865-9005 to get your free site assessment from Solterra Systems.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Talk Radio 570 KBI. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. I bring in studio each week the best of the best experts in our local market, everything on money. I'm here to help you build a strong financial blueprint in today's economy. In studio right now, Andy Landis, nationally known author and speaker. There's Social Security news for everyone in 2014, especially if you have a Social Security magic birthday this year. So that's what we're going to talk about with you today, Andy. Excited to have you back in studio.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Andy has worked since 1977 with pre-retirees and retirees at Social Security, AARP, Weyerhaeuser Corporation, and his own practice, Thinking Retirement. Through Thinking Retirement, Andy leads Social Security, Medicare, and retirement seminars for financial planners, CPAs, and Fortune 500 firms. He is the author of the book Social Security Inside Story, hailed as the best book on the topic, and When I Retire, A Guide to Design a Great Retirement Life. Both are available on Amazon. Andy, so new year today. New year.
Happy
now,
new year.
2014.
All of a
first
sudden,
time I've seen you in the new year.
Yeah.
So everyone on Social Security is getting a 1.5 cost of living adjustment in January. Is that correct?
Yeah. It doesn't sound like much, does it? But
well, at least it's something.
Yeah. Two things to think about that. One, well, first of all, it's the only pension system I know of that has a cost of living adjustment every year that's exactly equal to the inflation rate. So this year's raise is only 1.5%, but that's because inflation was only 1.5% last year. And, you know, 1.5% doesn't sound like much, but mm-hmm. if you compounded that over a long retirement, you know, people are retiring 20 and 30 years these days.
Yeah.
So if you compounded that for 30 years, it would make a big cut if you didn't get that cost of living adjustment.
Exactly.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's
it's
awesome.
Inflation proof, yeah.
Exactly. So what about Medicare premiums? Are they going to be going up in 2014?
You'd think, huh? But the weird thing is they're exactly the same in 2014 as they were last year. And that goes for the higher income people who pay more on their Medicare. Mm-hmm. That'll be exactly the same categories and exactly the same payment. This coming year.
Okay.
So health insurance premiums, flat. That's really unusual.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
So the Social Security taxable earning ceilings rose to $117,000 this year, correct?
Right. What that means is if you earn more than $117,000 this year, only the first $117,000 is taxed for Social Security, and that's all that will count towards your eventual Social Security payments. So watch for that if you're a higher income worker.
Okay.
You're going to pay more on your Social Security this year.
And a lot of my listeners may be worried about Social Security solvency.
Yeah, like you like younger
should
people.
They? Yeah. How young are we talking?
Social Security, it's better than what you've heard in the media.
Okay.
I mean, it's a problem, but it's mm-hmm. a long-term problem. Social Security has all the money it needs to pay current benefits to 2033.
Okay.
So I'll give you a minute to do
the math. I know, I was just trying to calculate here. I only do math for a living, but I didn't bring my calculator.
I get you. So after that, it's not the end of the world. After that, you've got enough payroll tax money coming in from our kids and grandkids to pay about 77% of current benefits. So obviously something has to be done, but we still have 19 years before it's a panic time on that. So we do have some time to figure that out.
And let's talk about Social Security and some of the magic birthdays. Let's start with age 60.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that's a magic birthday.
Okay.
But if you are turning age 60 this year, that's an important year if you are a widow or a widower.
Okay.
If you've lost a spouse, this also goes for your ex-spouse. I know.
Which we talked about, I think, the last time.
You only wish the best for your ex-spouse, right?
Of course.
But if you turn 60
this year. And
it's
only an ex-spouse if they actually haven't remarried, which I just found out with
mine. Yeah, if you're still single.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you're single and your spouse or former spouse is deceased, you could file for Social Security widow or widower's payments this year.
Okay.
And that's a big deal. That's a magic birthday. So you might be able to get Social Security earlier than you thought.
Wow.
That's only if you're not working or working at a low level. But if you're partly retired or you lost your job and you've lost a spouse also, talk to Social Security. You might be able to get a pretty good payment.
Yeah, and that's why I love doing this show so much and having all of you experts that are everything, because there's so much to know and we can't know it all. And just bringing in and having you advise my listeners on really what they need to be looking for, I just appreciate, and I'm sure that they do
as well,
Andy.
That's why we need you about mortgages. You're
there
the expert.
You go.
There.
Yeah. I can do that on that subject, that's for sure. So your first eligibility for Social Security retirement is 62. Is that correct? So there's
regular
another important
old
62, birthday.
Yeah. Okay. Early Social Security. Just a reminder that if you took it at 62, first of all, your work level would be limited.
Okay.
And you'd get a much lower payment. You'd only get a 75% payment compared to a 66-year-old. So, you could argue for it, especially if you've suffered job loss.
Sure.
But for most people, you're better off waiting till a later age.
Okay. So what about our listeners who are turning 65?
65. First of all, that is not Social Security full retirement age, although some people think so.
Okay.
What it is, it's Medicare age, 65. And everybody turning 65 this year should call or contact Social Security and find out if they should file for Medicare. Most people should. There's some exceptions, and you don't want to get this wrong, because there are penalties. If you file too late, you could pay a penalty for the rest of your life. If you file too early, there's a penalty. So you've got to get this right. So the best way to do that, I'm not going to bore you with all the rules. When do I postpone? When do I file at 65? Just contact Social Security and find out if this is your Medicare year or if it's going to be a future year.
Got it. And so we talked about full retirement age. So full retirement age is not 65, but 66, correct?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
A whole bunch of stuff happens at 66. First of all, you get a regular old 100% payment from Social Security. That's cool. But you can also work and draw Social Security with no penalty on the Social Security. You got unlimited earnings and full Social Security payments. Pretty awesome. That starts the month you turn 66. And in the months up to your birth month, you can earn a lot more.
Okay.
So you might be able to file right now in January and get Social Security, even if you're working at a pretty high level. The other thing that's cool about 66, all kinds of sort of secret formulas come into play, where you could file and suspend your payments, and that opens the door, A, to your spouse to file, and B, for you to build up a contingency fund. By filing and suspending your payments, you could build up a contingency fund. The other thing you can do at 66 that people earlier can't is, if you're eligible on your own and as a spouse, you could file for the spouse-only payments for the next 4 years and then get a bigger payment on your own 4 years from now. So definitely, if you're turning 66 this year, talk to Social Security, maybe you should take it, maybe you should postpone it, maybe you should take the middle course of file and suspend or spouse-only payments.
Okay, Andy, you've talked about some tools and some things that can help because it's an hour show. I've got you here for 20 minutes, and we're going through all this information. Some of my listeners may be driving, not in a position to take notes, but what about a tool that they can kind of analyze and take a look at the best options?
Well, if you'll excuse me, I got to tell you, all of this is in my book, Social Security, The Inside Story. So
there you go.
That's at Amazon. Also, if you just talk to Social Security, you can learn a lot of this.
Okay.
And if you go on their website, which is awesome, but kind of overfull of information, if you go on the website, for example, if you wanted to learn about spouse-only payments, just click on the spouse key, and that'll clue you in on how this works.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. And Andy, no more Social Security increases for my listeners that are 70, correct?
70 is the maximum you can get from Social Security. If you've been waiting, or if you filed spouse-only, or you suspended your payments, or whatever, 70 is the time to get them started. It's not 70 and a half like taxes. It's 70. So go ahead. If you're turning 70 this year, definitely contact Social Security. Make sure you got everything where it should be.
Okay. And Andy, the number one misinformation on Social Security would be what?
Number one misinformation probably would be Social Security is based on my last 10 years of work or my best 10 years of work.
Okay.
Right? Wrong. Your Social Security is based on your 35 best years of work. They're really looking at your whole career to find out how much they should pay you on your Social Security. That's a very common misinformation. Another one is if I file at 62 and take that reduced payment, it's going to step up when I turn 65 or 66, right? Wrong. It does not. That's a permanent reduction.
Okay.
Yeah. So don't make those errors. Don't listen to your neighbor who filed at 60 because they were a widow. That's fine for them. It may not be for you.
Got it. And Social Security, I mean, it's really important part of your retirement.
You'd be surprised. It is the number one source
of
retirement money.
So number one source?
Number one by
which
far.
Which is kind of, it's kind of, that's scary when
it
you think about
it. It is scary because
scary
all
sad.
Our careers, we tell people to save, to build up pensions, savings, whatever they can. Maybe it's in their real estate. You know, that's important. But then you find out that Social Security provides 40% of all income for people over 65.
Wow.
More than pensions, more than work, more than savings.
Yeah.
That means we better get on the stick and save our money while we can when we're younger.
Save our money while we can when we're younger. And also to really the importance to understand what your Social Security estimate is going to be, the cost of living, and really budgeting and determining what you need because it can be a shocking reality.
For your younger listeners, they don't know it yet, but Social Security is the insurance company that insures their paycheck. That means if something happens to your paycheck mid-career, because of disability or death. We just talked about floods and fires. Well, disability and death can hit too. And that's when Social Security can pay if you've been paying them.
Okay.
So by all means, it's not just for older people. It can protect you in your mid-career years also.
Okay.
So yeah, younger people need to know that. And they need to provide for their own retirement too.
Of course. So Andy, what about the option about filing and suspending your payments? Can you talk about that?
You bet. It's a fairly lesser known strategy that you can do at 66. You cannot do it before.
Okay.
But if you're 66, you could file for Social Security, but suspend your payments. Now, why in heaven's name would I do that? That seems a little silly to file but not get your payments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's three things that could happen. One, your own payments are building up to a higher level. So typically you'd be aiming for age 70. Two, if you file and suspend, that opens the door for your spouse to get spouse payments. And those lower spouse payments could act as a bridge to get you to 70.
Okay.
So that's helping you get there. And this can be on top of your work income if you're working. And three, this is almost an unknown strategy. But of course, you could unsuspend your payments at any point between 66 and 70 and start those payments up. But what nobody knows is that you can unsuspend your payments effective any date back to the date you suspended them.
Okay.
So let's say I'm 68 years old and I've suspended my payments for 2 years. Normally, if I wanted my payments to start, I'd start them effective this month.
Sure.
And it would be at 116% level compared to 66.
Mm-hmm.
But one option I would have is to unsuspend effective age 66 back when I did it. I'd only get 100% payment. But they owe me 2 years of payments. So if I was going to get a $2,000 a month payment and they owe me 24 months of payments, that's $48,000.
Wow.
So I'm calling that a hedge or a contingency fund.
Got it.
That you're building up only if you file and suspend at 66. Nobody knows this.
Yeah.
But this is, you probably would never use it. But if you ever ran into a financial problem, or if you got bad news from your doctor that you're not going to have the long life you hoped for,
yep.
This is money that you have stashed away in your Social Security mm-hmm. that you could tap into anytime
wow.
with just a phone call.
Yeah. Oh,
pretty
my
cool.
gosh.
Yeah.
Andy, awesome just having you here. And thank you again, because I know you are a very, very busy guy. And we were just talking about everything that's happening for you in 2014. Just make sure you keep on your calendar with your team, your visits here in studio for my show, because my listeners just love having you here. And I just appreciate it so much.
Love to be here. Thank you, Tina.
And a great year to you.
Thank you. And you too. 2014,
here we come. Coming up next on the Money Hour, here to discuss what's happening in today's real estate market and how consumers are reacting to the current environment, Craig Gondry with Windermere Real Estate East, right here on 570 KVI after this short break.
Buying or selling real estate? There may never be a better opportunity than right now. With a real estate career spanning over 26 years, Craig with Craig Gondry and Associates of Windermere Real Estate has successfully handled over $400 million in residential sales. He's developed and refined the skills needed to result in a favorable real estate transaction for his clients. Craig holds the Certified Residential Specialist designation. Only 4% of realtors hold this coveted designation. CRS is a nationally recognized symbol of real estate expertise, achievement, and commitment.
This is Craig with Craig Gondry and Associates of Windermere Real Estate. To find out why now may be the perfect time for you to buy or sell real estate, call me at 425-576-5555 or find me on the web at gaudry.com.
Are you behind on your mortgage payments and unsure about the road ahead? Magnum Law Group helps families just like yours navigate through the foreclosure avoidance process. Are you underwater on your home and unsure what to do? Magnum Law Group will help you understand your options. Are you facing foreclosure and need to stop a trustee sale? Magnum Law Group has success in doing this and may be able to help you too. If you're tired of dealing with the banks and getting turned down for loan modification, Magnum Law Group will take on the banks for you and lead you through the process for the best possible outcome. They lead the competition with superior knowledge and expertise.
This is Craig from Magnum. You can reach us at 425-605-6393 or at www.magnumlawgroup.com. See you at the next seminar.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Talk Radio 570 KBI. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. Each week, I share expert advice and inside knowledge on how today's events in our local economy can affect your money. And in studio right now, Craig Gondry with Windermere Real Estate East. There are some lingering uncertainties about the real estate market, possibly that you have here coming into the new year 2014. And what are they, and what does this mean for our local real estate market? Well, that's why I've invited Craig into studio. And first time, Craig, coming in to visit me. Thank you so much.
Well, it's great to be here, Tina. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Craig is a licensed real estate broker with Windermere Real Estate and has more than 26 years experience in real estate business. He offers an outstanding level of knowledge combined with exceptional professionalism, and his successful track record is due to a straightforward and honest approach with his clients. Craig's reputation in real estate is unsurpassed, as he is ranked in the top 1% of real estate agents on a national level. He is a regular top producer on Seattle East Side and has been rated best in client satisfaction by Seattle Magazine. His extensive network of local, regional, national, and international groups gives him a competitive edge in an ever-changing real estate market. And quite a bio, Craig. I know I've been trying to get you in studio for quite a while, but you know, all of my guests being experts and the best in our local market, you guys are busy.
Yeah, the market keeps us moving. It's been a been an interesting year in real estate, and we're thinking even it's going to be very exciting and even more flamboyant year in 2014.
So let's talk about that. What do you think's coming in 2014 for our real estate market?
Well, as a lot of people know, in 2013, we definitely had a housing shortage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the housing shortage is going to have some improvement due to some new construction that is due to come around. But I don't really think it's going to be enough to alleviate the shortage. I would kind of use the baseball analogy of the infield versus the outfield. On the infield areas, which would be really close in Seattle,
okay.
Bellevue, Kirkland, close in Redmond, those areas close to the center of our metro area, the shortage will be much more severe. And as you get a little farther out and you go north and south and east, you're going to see a little more easing of inventory because there's more land for new
sure.
construction to be built.
Got it. So with short inventory, you know what that means for our real estate prices. Not a lot of buyers out there, just not enough inventory to go around. And Craig, what do you see about the median house price then?
Well, I think in this coming year, 2012 over, to 2013, mm-hmm. and that year over year, there was about a 15% increase in median sales price in King County. On a national basis, a lot of experts are predicting even a 16% increase in median home prices year
wow.
over year going from 2013 to 2014. And our area usually beats the national
yep, it
average.
Does.
So it could be
wow.
a very interesting year. I think the more inventory we get will help stabilize
sure.
that growth and make it in a manageable way so it helps everybody without hurting people at the
sure.
same time.
Yeah. And one of the things that may possibly slow down a little bit, again, not much because the cost of borrowing is going to stay very, very cheap, just not quite as cheap as we've seen because the Fed pulling back on quantitative easing. But with the interest rates, if they do go up maybe 1%, let's say, what do you think that means for the real estate market?
Well, obviously, as you know, being a financial expert, that any increase in the interest rates can have a significant impact on someone's buying power. If a rate was at 4.5%, for example, and it went to 5%, that would decrease somebody's buying power by probably close to 5%.
Yep.
If it goes, a full point, that could be 10 or 12, just depends on what kind of situation they are on their loan. So that's why I'm really strongly recommending to anyone who's thinking of buying real estate this year, I'd
okay.
be doing it sooner than later to
sure.
take advantage of the rates and move in that direction if possible.
Of course. And what about financing? And this is my arena, but I want,
right.
Get some opinion on you with the financing and lending. What do you feel with that?
Well, I think that as rates go up, if there is any easing in lending criteria, for example, I think that might be a significant factor that would help sustain any type of buying surge that
mm-hmm.
I really think is going to happen in 2014. So I think, depending how FICO scores are looked at and
yep.
other things, I've read things that said that looks like we might have some easing in some of these categories
mm-hmm.
moving forward. I defer to you on that for more specific information. But any of that at all would just kind of help keep the train moving in a positive direction for,
sure.
for sales and in the whole nation, for that matter.
Yeah, and as I mentioned in Money Chat with finding out the conforming limits are going to stay where they're at. It's
right.
pretty amazing, and the low down payment options that we have, even getting into a half a million plus home
right.
Really is going to help. And in our market, especially if you're getting into the prime parts of Seattle, it's expensive to get into the market. So
right.
having the ability to do those lower down payments. Now let's take a talk a little bit about unemployment rate. How do you think that the national and the regional unemployment rate will affect the real estate market?
Well, I think that, just like we talked about interest rates,
uh-huh.
Everybody's used to, interest rates being so low right now,
yep.
for example.
Uh-huh.
When I started in real estate in 1987, interest rates were 13.5%. When they dropped to 10 or below, after I'd been in business for 4 or 5 years,
yeah.
we were doing backflips at 10% interest rates. Everybody was excited
yeah.
to
wow.
help people. And so obviously the dynamics have changed. But how that relates to unemployment rates, they got pretty high
mm-hmm.
and they've been trending down pretty well. Now, our area, we're so fortunate to live in the Seattle Puget Sound region with companies
yep.
like Microsoft, Amazon, Google, Boeing, just to name a few.
Yep.
The growth of the business sector in our area as a whole is one of the top producing markets in the nation. And I think this trend is just going to continue to get better. So we're in a great spot. Yeah. And I think that that will interest rates will our unemployment rate staying low is really going to just help fuel more people to be able to buy property, upgrade their current properties. I think it's a good situation.
And we're, you know, being Port Rhem City, we're actually the lowest in comparison to all of our Port Rhem cities. So it's exciting, you know, here to see that we have so much more if we're comparing with the other Port Rhem cities like San Francisco. And
exactly.
So what about inflation? How do you see that impacting the real estate market?
Well, again, what's so interesting with inflation, and you know, Andy talked about that a little bit on just in general basis. But again, when I was a kid growing up in the 70s, I mean, they did what was called a misery index. They took the interest rate and they took the inflation rate and they combined the two numbers together.
Uh-huh.
Back during the Carter administration, they did that a lot. And that misery index was over 20% when you combined interest rates and inflation rate. You look at where we're at now with really super low inflation, and we've got low interest rates. It's a phenomenal time on a historical basis for people. And so I think they're going to actually be able to keep the gains, hopefully, that they obtain, that the equity that homeowners gain when they own a place and it goes up in value, hopefully that those gains will be something they're going to be able to keep in a sustainable manner.
Sure.
Moving forward into the future.
Yep. So all of these things that we've listed in kind of predicting what 2014 might bring for real estate, somebody that's thinking of buying a home, what is your advice to them right now at the beginning of the year? Because a lot of people, they're new year. I mean, they're ready to get out into the market now and start looking for homes.
Right.
What are you telling them?
Well, you know, I think that the neat thing, again, that we just talked about, low inflation, you know, low interest rates. Sure, the inventory is low, which makes it a little bit of a challenge depending where they're looking to buy. But if they're working with a really skilled agent, they're going to be able to help them navigate that low inventory and still be able to find the type of property that they want. And then when they do obtain that, then hopefully they're going to be able to look forward to sustainable appreciation in their in the equity that they obtain. And so it's just, I think it's one of the best times that I've seen in my career, without question. I've never seen it, all the dynamics lining up so favorably.
Yeah, and if you're listening right now and you're thinking of getting into the market, if you don't have representation, I literally have one of the best in the market, top 1% in real estate right here. Pick up the phone, give the show a call, 1-888-987-0570. Again, it's 1-888-987-0570. I know Craig and his team would definitely make time to assist and help you out. So, Craig, with your sellers, what are you and your team talking to your sellers about with everything that we've broken down for 2014?
Well, if you look back at what happened here in 2013, I mean, with this low inventory, it was definitely a very hot market for sellers. Sellers were able to sell their homes quickly for, you know, for very good prices. And I think this year, 2014, there's going to be a little more inventory coming on to play, but it's still going to be an excellent time for sellers to sell. Because with this low inventory, if a home is priced right and it's in a good, you know, good neighborhood, it's probably going to get multiple offers on the house. And then that's where the skill and expertise of the agent that they're working with to figure out how they can obtain as high of a sales price as possible, but not get too greedy and pick a wrong buyer who then 2 or 3 days later backs out because they basically felt the squeeze of a multiple offer negotiation. So there's really a lot of finesse in making sure that you pick the right buyer when you're selling a home and still try to get as much money as possible. But there's a little bit of flow that has to happen with that.
Of course. And you and I both know that representation is everything when it comes to anything that we're purchasing, not just real estate or choosing who you're going to have represent you for a mortgage or the advice that you're going to get regarding your retirement. You've got to work with those quality people and ones that have the experience. So what advice do you have for my listeners, Craig?
Well, I think when anyone thinks about buying or selling a home, the first thing they really need to look at is basically, who are they going to select as an agent to represent their interest in buying or selling? Mm-hmm. It's by far the most important decision they're going to make. If I wasn't in real estate and I was selecting an agent, I would know that issue for a fact. The current market's very tricky. Some properties are priced too high.
Some are priced too low, believe it or not.
Yep.
And some are just right. Maybe as close to Goldilocks as we can get, right? But the thing is that it takes a very skilled and experienced realtor to know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And a very skilled realtor will also have the right know-how to negotiate the best price terms and conditions, whether you're buying or selling a home. Because what we have to remember is we don't get what we deserve. We get what we negotiate when it comes to buying or selling property.
Isn't that so true?
That's very true.
So, Craig, what about getting back to kind of what's happening in the market? What do you see going on with our distressed property? Any changes that you see in 2014 as far as the what the banks are doing, the amount of properties? I mean, you know, a couple years ago we were talking about the shadow inventory, which the risk of that, which never happened.
Right.
We're wishing for it. But
Right.
do you see any more properties becoming available in that arena to help with the lack of inventory, or not really?
Well, you know, I don't think it's really going to have a significant impact. Mm-hmm. Again, reverting back to the infield areas that
okay.
I discussed,
okay.
the closer in areas in the Seattle, King County metro areas. When you get farther out in North Snohomish and down to South Pierce and some farther out places east as well, you might have a little more impact.
Okay.
But I don't really think it's the shadow inventory that everybody's talked about. I don't think it really measures up that much in our marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
I think those days are gone.
Yeah, no, and I agree. It's just funny how things change so much when, you know, what was a concern turned into be a wish and a really want for it to happen and just kind of, you know, never did.
They'll still be there to some degree.
Yes.
It's not like they're not going to just all of a sudden go away. I mean,
sure.
they're out there. But you think about it, when the market's appreciating, you know, banks and people are going to say, hey, we can sell these properties and and make money. Why are we just going to blow them out? Nobody's blowing out properties
now. Yeah. And what are you saying to your investors, you know, for listeners out there right now that maybe, I mean, the opportunity to add to your real estate now, being that the cost of money is still so low. What advice do you have there?
Well, my advice for real estate is usually always more of a long-term basis.
Mm-hmm.
You've always heard about people wanting to buy stuff, you know, fix them up, turn around, sell them. That's a really tricky thing.
Yep.
And in a lot of cases, by the time you have to pay a bunch of other people to do the remodeling and all the things to flip a property and sell it, you run out of time and money and effort. On a long-term hold, I think it's an excellent time for people to buy another property, turn it into a rental investment. In 15 years, they can pay off a property and they've got money for their kids' college. I mean, there's all kind of great things they can do with buying real estate for a long-term
hold. Great advice, Craig. Well, thank you so much for coming in. It was great having you finally here in studio.
Great.
Look forward to having you back.
Well, Happy New Year again to you, Tina.
Thank you so much, Craig. This is your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. Happy New Year to everyone. Thank you for being here on my first show of the new year. Excited to be back next Sunday, same time, same place, right here on 570 KVI. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Free electricity from your roof? It's possible with solar energy. Here's Amy from Solterra Systems.
There's never been a better time to install solar in Washington, and yes, we do get enough sun. Incentives cover over 50% of the installation cost, and zero down financing is available. Enjoy watching your meter run backwards this summer by installing solar now.
Go to useyourroof.com to find out how easy it can be. That's useyourroof.com, or call 800-865-9005 to get your free site assessment from Solterra Systems.
The preceding program was paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395 and Washington CL number 81395 is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420 is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit absoluteloans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.